The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. You come home. So, in the back, on the little podium, little cards for VBS, family VBS, that's starting next Sunday evening. Information's on the card. Invite somebody, come yourself. Tuesday, Bible study. Wednesday, Bible study. Be on in your prayers. Come in your prayers. Denny in your prayers. Bruce. Someone's been beaten on him. Anybody else have announcements? Well, let's begin singing our first hymn.
Sincerely, and just be my own.
our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Continue with the intro printed in your bulletin. To you I will cry, O Lord my rock.
Do not be silent to me.
Lest if you are silent to me,
I become like those who go down to the pit.
Hear the voice of my supplications.
When I cry to you.
And I lift up my hands toward your holy sanctuary. The Lord is my strength and my shield.
My heart trusts in him, and I am helped.
Therefore my heart greatly rejoices.
And with my song I will praise him.
Oh. Lord of all power and might, author and giver of all good things, graft into our hearts the love of your name. Increase in us true religion, nourish us with all goodness, and of your great mercy keep us in the same. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. So questions 15 and 16 from the Catechism. What are the Ten Commandments? The Ten Commandments are God's law, his good and loving will for the lives and well-being of all people. What is God's will for our lives? God wants us to trust him above all else, to love him, to love our neighbor. 1 Timothy 2. God desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Thessalonians 4. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. Matthew 22. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Note that Christians often distinguish the commandments in two parts. Those that pertain to love for God in the first three, those that pertain to the love for their neighbor in the last seven, and call them the two tablets or tables of the law, since God wrote the commandments on two stone tablets. The Old Testament reading for the sixth Sunday after Trinity is written in the 20th chapter of Exodus, beginning with the first verse. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord is giving to you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Here endeth the Old Testament reading. We continue with the gradual printed in your bulletin. Return, O Lord, how long?
Have pity on your servants.
Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations.
And from everlasting to everlasting, you are God.
Our epistle reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome, beginning with the first verse in chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us have were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ has been raised from the dead, death dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Therefore, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Here endeth the epistle reading. Please rise for the Alleluia verse. Alleluia.
Alleluia. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel is written in the 5th chapter of St. Matthew, beginning with verse 17. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to those of old that you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly, while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge. The judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there until you have paid the last penny. Here endeth the gospel reading. Let us confess our Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for our sin and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He
Father and Son, who with the Father and Son together is worshipped and glorified, who is shaped by the prophets. I believe one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with our next hymn. Not come to abolish the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them. The grace, mercy, peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
You know, it's a common misconception that Jesus presents a completely different religion than that of the Old Testament. Some Christians might even disregard certain uncomfortable passages in the Bible, saying, "Well, that's the Old Testament. It's the Pharisees and scribes who want to harp on the Old Testament. Jesus came to bring something new." But the Lord makes it clear that I have not come to abolish the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them. their saints in Christ. Jesus will not remove anything from Scripture. And this includes the Ten Commandments, which tell you what is right and what is wrong. So if you follow the Ten Commandments, then you are righteous. But if you fail to follow them, you are unrighteous. Now, righteous is a word that isn't used all that often these days. Christians should know what the word righteous means, though. To be righteous means to be in a right relationship with God. It means that you are pleasing to Him. So you are obviously pleasing to God and therefore righteous if you follow God's commandments. If you are righteous, you will go to heaven. If you are unrighteous, then you will go to hell. The scribes and the Pharisees thought they were righteous. In fact, everyone thought that they were righteous. They taught God's law and followed it, or so it seemed, to the letter. But listen to what Jesus says. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, Jesus is God. He knows the correct interpretation of God's law. And Jesus is not satisfied with outward appearances. No, He wants you to follow His law both outwardly and inwardly. So you've never taken the life of another human being? Well, good for you. But have you been angry at your brother or sister without a righteous cause? Have you ever insulted anyone or called them a fool or thought them to be a fool? Well, then Jesus says, you are a murderer. Not only does He call you a murderer, but He says that you are liable to the Gehenna, a fire. Gehenna was a garbage pit near Jerusalem where they burned the trash, a very descriptive word for hell used by Jesus. And Jesus goes on. Have you ever cheated on your spouse or had sex outside of marriage? You haven't? Well, good for you. But have you lusted after another person or viewed pornography or used filthy language? Christ says you have already committed adultery in your heart. See, Jesus doesn't want you to have the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. No, that is just an outward righteousness. Jesus says that, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Jesus permits no leeway as He preaches the law. You must obey the Ten Commandments perfectly, not just outwardly as seen by others, but in secret. Yes, even to the innermost part of your heart. You must love God above all your heart, with all your heart, soul, and strength and mind, at all times, 24/7. You must love your neighbor as yourself. No, I didn't say your wife or your mother or your mother-in-law as yourself. I mean, that is difficult enough. Jesus wants you to love them as your friend, as you, not as your enemy. He wants you to pray for them, forgive them. You must be righteous. Your righteousness must surpass that of the scribes and the Pharisees. Well, then who can be righteous? No one, St. Paul says to the Christians in Rome. None is righteous. No, not one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You sang correctly in the hymn of the day, all mankind fell in Adam's fall. One common sin infects us all. From one to all the curse descends. And over all, God's wrath impends. You see, no one can say he was without sin. No one can claim that his righteousness meets the mark to go to heaven, because you are all sinners. Now, it's important to remember that the main function of the law, when it is used in sermons, the law tells you what God wants you to do and to be. But as you just heard, you are not righteous. This is called the mirror of the law. It shows you that you are sinners, that you cannot save yourself by your own good works, that you must repent and ask God for mercy. You know, there is a strange phenomenon that takes place when people hear that all are sinners and that all fall short of the glory of God. Many people seem to be okay with saying that they are sinners, as long as everyone else is a sinner too. It's like they find some sort of comfort knowing that they're in the same sinking ship as everyone else. They're fine saying everyone's a sinner, but then if you address their specific sin, then they'll get up and they'll respond, "Well, everyone's a sinner," as if the statement "everyone's a sinner" is the gospel. Tell me, if someone who is dying of a terminal illness is comforted, if everyone else in the ward is also dying of a terminal illness, I don't think so. Nevertheless, this is how people behave with the statement, "Everyone's a sinner." Fornication is a sin. You should stop fornicating. Well, yes, everyone's a sinner. Yes, and all are likewise children of wrath. You see, there is no comfort in sin, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God is meant to send a message to you about yourself. Not a message to you about your neighbor. Everyone is a sinner. This means you are a sinner. So don't look to the next person next to you. Their sin is irrelevant right now. God wants you to focus upon the fact that you are a sinner. The law must personally condemn you so that the gospel can personally comfort you. But naturally, people don't want to confront their own sin. It's so much easier to say that everyone's a sinner, or even I'm a sinner, than to address your personal sins. You're a sinner. Yes, I know I'm a sinner. You should stop slandering your neighbor. Don't judge me. You're a sinner. Yes, everyone's a sinner. You should stop yelling at your spouse. Mind your own business. You're a sinner. What else is new? It's a sin to live with your girlfriend or boyfriend before you're married. That's fornication. You should repent. Stop being so hateful. Is that not the way you behave to God's law? You tell God to mind his own business, to stop judging you. If your pastor or brother or sister in Christ addresses a particular sin, this is often the reaction they'll get. But the purpose of God's law is not to simply say that all are sinners, but to repent of your actual, real sins and believe in the gospel. As Solomon writes in Proverbs 9, "Do not reprove a scoffer, or he'll hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you." St. Paul writes, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And then he continues, "And are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith." You see, all are sinners, and all are justified by grace through faith. Or to be justified means to be declared righteous. Not to be declared righteous like the scribes and Pharisees, but to be declared righteous. The righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees. The righteousness of Christ himself. Well, how can this be? Did you not just learn that the works are not good enough to make you righteous? And that you are all sinners? Yes. But this righteousness does not come from your own works. It comes from faith in Jesus Christ. Your righteousness will never get you into heaven. Nevertheless, Jesus' righteousness can and does. Jesus' righteousness is the only righteousness that can get you into heaven. And for this reason, you cannot boast in your own good works or trust in them or trust in the fact that everyone else is a sinner too. You must trust in the righteousness that comes not by works, but by faith. As St. Paul writes to the Christians in Philippi, "Indeed, I count everything as a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith." You see, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Does your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees? Will it get you into heaven? If you look at your righteousness by your works, what you think, what you say, and what you do, you must answer, no. No matter how good you are, or others think that you are, but if you claim the righteousness of Christ through faith, then your righteousness certainly is sufficient. What could possibly be lacking? Your righteousness certainly gets you into heaven because it is Christ's righteousness. This brings comfort to those who felt the law's painful sting. If the law personally convicted you, then you can be joyful that the gospel applies directly to you as well. St. Paul writes again in his letter to the Romans, Therefore there now is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So are you in Christ Jesus? Well, then you are not condemned. You have peace with God. You have entered the kingdom of heaven. Jesus redeemed you from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for you upon the cross. Jesus fulfilled the law and the prophets, not only by obeying the Ten Commandments and loving God and his neighbor perfectly, both inwardly and outwardly. Jesus fulfilled the law and the prophets by winning your salvation. According to God's plan, he died for you the death that you should have died. He suffered for the punishment of your sins. Just as he fulfilled God's law perfectly, so did he perfectly suffer for all of your sins. Dear saints in Christ, St. Paul writes to the Christians in Rome, "Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. Just as the law condemns everyone as a sinner, so the gospel gives righteousness to everyone who believes in faith in the gospel. So just as you should not deflect God's law everyone's a sinner, accordingly, do not deflect the gospel. Jesus died just for you. He forgives your sins. Jesus gives you his righteousness. And the righteousness he gives you exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. and it gives you access to eternal life in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard and keep our hearts in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
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 Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, our strength and our refuge and our rock, do not be deaf to your people, but hear us from your most holy sanctuary in heaven through the meditation of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Lord, hear mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you have purchased us from the power of sin, death, and the devil through the waters of holy baptism, and made us your children. Grant that we may count ourselves as dead to sin and alive to you in Christ Jesus, serving our neighbors in love and looking for the resurrection that is ours in your Son. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear
our prayers. O Lord, you gave the law that we might know your will and live as your holy people. Increase in us true fear, love, and trust in your holy name and your saving word, that we may have no other gods but you. Guide and bless all fathers and mothers, pastors and teachers, as they bring up children in the discipline and knowledge of the true faith. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Merciful Lord, uphold our president, our governor, our legislatures and judges, our local leaders, and all who serve in our armed forces. Grant peace graciously, O Lord, in our time, for there is no other who fights for us but you only. O Lord God, Lord in our mercy. God of all grace, shower your forgiveness upon all who are baptized into your name. In baptism, you have united us with your Son, that his death and resurrection have become our death and resurrection. Cause us daily to die to sin and live in your gracious salvation through Christ Jesus. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord God of hosts, you are a light in our salvation. Hide in your shelter Wally, Roger, Sarah, Helen, Rod, Bev, Carlene, Carol, Pastor Mo, Dennis, Ruth, Janet, Tammy, Roger, Steve, Rachel, Shirley, Deanna, Robin, Brianna, Chuck, Lizia, Gordon, Deb, Pastor Fish, Mary, Billy, Tim, Tony, the Vicar Langton family, Karen and her family at the death of her son Michael, three-week-old Belinda, granddaughter of Pastor Rick Bile and the Leslie family, and all who suffer in body and mind or soul. Keep them in their day of trouble from falling into faithless fear, and uphold them with your peace in Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God of hosts, we give thanks that in the waters of holy baptism we receive the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. On this baptismal anniversary, bless Michelle, Jerry, and Stephen, continually by your word and spirit, that they may faithfully keep the covenant into which they have been called, boldly confess their Savior, and finally share with all the saints the joys of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, in the Holy Supper, you forgive our sins and bind us together in your communion of love. Grant that we too may gladly forgive the sins of our brothers. Let no division arise among those gathered at your table. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we confess that we are poor, miserable sinners with no good in us. Our hearts and our flesh and blood are so corrupted by sin that we are never without sinful desires in this life. Therefore, we implore you, forgive us our sins. Let your Holy Spirit cleanse our hearts that we would love your word, abide by it, and by your grace be saved through forever. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with hymn 307.
With you and with my spirit.
we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you. Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who having created all things, took on human flesh, and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died upon the cross and rose from the dead, to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given to death for your sins. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given to death for your sins. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given to death for your sins. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given to death for your sins. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ. Give it to death for your son, God the Father, Son, God, just keep him in his own place. Take, eat, the true body of Christ, given it to death for your son. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ. Take, drink. This true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Given to death for your sin. Take, eat, the true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, eat, the true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Thank you. Please rise to begin the Lux Dementis. Thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen.